Listening to the AHGB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business. I'm Sarah Meesom. Welcome to the third podcast in our series, which focuses purely on how the coronavirus outbreak is affecting the beef and lamb sector. Today we will hear from Duncan Wyatt, who is one of our lead analysts in the market intelligence team. He will be speaking to colleagues Rebecca Wright, who is also a market analyst, and Rebecca Gladman, who is our Retail Insight Manager here at AHGB. They are going to give us a bit of an update on the effects they are seeing in the data and the impact this is having on markets and prices. I'm also joined by Gareth Reynaldon, who is our Senior Marketing Manager for Beef and Lamb, and he's going to tell us a bit about the new investment given to the Steak Night campaign.
Hello, and welcome to this AHGB Beef and Lamb podcast. I'm here with Rebecca Wright and Rebecca Gladman to talk about how coronavirus has affected the beef and lamb markets in the UK over the last few weeks. The initial effects of coronavirus were a demand side issue, don't you think, Rebecca Gladman?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just been a really big shift over the last couple of months. So yeah, March, we still had, you know, the pubs and restaurants and everything were open still. And in the middle of the month when they were forced to close, that's when we saw that massive change in demand, because it was just completely different scenario. So whereas people were still trying to go out and get, you know, the McDonald's or anything in March, actually by end of March, April, that option just wasn't there. And actually people really with trying to stick to the social distancing rules have not been venturing out to the supermarkets as often as they were. They're still spending a lot more, but we've seen a big drop back in April with people really sort of worried about things.
It's quite interesting since it's really that mince which is being bought by consumers. Partly that's so they can freeze it, and again, partly it's a kind of familiar product, obviously got a cheaper price point as well, and so a lot of people are buying that kind of product either for storage or for use in the home. The problem with that, of course, is that makes the carcass balance slightly out of whack. So if you're not selling enough top cuts, not enough steaks, that means the whole carcass is slightly devalued because you're selling more of it as mince. And what you don't really want to do is start putting, you know, fillet steaks in a mincing machine. And so the danger is that value of that carcass is going to be slightly degraded as well.
Yeah, I mean, beef volumes in that month of March were up sort of 35% or so, and now they've dropped down, still up massively. It's the strongest performing protein. But yeah, still people wanting mince, but yeah, things have scaled back a bit more. And actually we've seen steaks sort of stabilised a little bit as well, helped by a few more promotions at the supermarkets. But we've also seen, we've had like really, really great weather in April. So whilst we're in a bit of a miserable situation, actually, that bit of weather has really helped beef burger sales. Yeah. So that's a real positive there, because we know obviously burgers going into food service are an absolutely massive part, as well as steaks. So it's good that we've kind of seen people kind of recreating those experiences at home a little bit more as we've gone into lockdown.
Yeah, and I suppose to me it seems like we've had no 2 weeks the same. Like I know we've all been in lockdown for quite a few weeks now, but in terms of kind of the environment, it's really hard. It's really hard to work out where you are, because obviously we had the initial panic buying, lots of beef and lamb, particular flying off the shelves, and then there was obviously the restocking phase, and that kind of depends on what supermarkets want to buy. And then we came to Easter. And so you're kind of comparing a time of year when families are getting together and buying particular kind of cuts with last year, when obviously Easter, oh, I won't say Easter was cancelled, that sounds too dramatic, but you know, Easter didn't line up with Easter last year. And so really it's only relatively recently that we're kind of settling down, it seems to me, to this kind of, let's call it a new normal for now, which is lockdown, but food service being closed without any kind of, apart from Ramadan, of course, without any kind of festivals confusing the issue.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Easter had an absolutely massive impact, and when we look at the data, we can kind of align those Easter periods, and it did have a really massive impact on the lamb market. And I think that's kind of a learning, you know, we don't know how long all of this is going to go on for, and obviously social distancing could be kind of the normal for quite a long time. And actually the impact that Easter has had on lamb is a bit of a learning for other proteins as well, to kind of think further down the line. Actually, they could have a similar impact on those sectors.
So moving over to you, Rebecca Wright, then, for a second. And so we've obviously talked a little bit about the demand side, but it's not just been a demand side story, although obviously that's been the main underpinning issue here, really, which is obviously demand switching from food service into retail, but also changing demand. You know, we talked a little bit about mince, and obviously mince sales have really dominated in terms of beef. But on the supply side, what kind of what main things have you noticed that have happened on the supply side for cattle and sheep?
So if we start with kind of the sheep, you know, sort of at the end of March, that really sudden change in that last sort of 10 days. Partly, you know, as sort of our own domestic situation was changing rapidly at the time with the school closures and the restaurant closures, but also that was sort of a week or so after some of the other European countries had gone into lockdown.
Yeah, of course, exports are a big deal.
We moved on that demand too. So that had quite a profound impact, a fairly well-documented effect on the price. As it happened, we went from having exceptionally high prices to sort of being just down near the five-year average, so not a poor price at all. It was quite a big shock at the time to do that adjustment in a matter of days, really. But yeah, supply-wise, we've actually had a few fewer sheep around this year. So actually, that's helped balance the situation a little bit by not having the numbers there on the ground in the same way for the sheep.
Yeah.
It'll be sort of the coming 6-8 weeks when we start to see that increase in new season lambs and head into sort of a peak supply, where sort of will be quite key where demand is, both here domestically from a retail or food service point of view, and also sort of on the continent for our export demand.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, isn't it? Because obviously that first kind of drop off in the last week of March or so, a lot of it was a bit of an export story, wasn't it? Obviously exports didn't stop, but demand for our product on the continent, particularly in France, really slowed down. And so I'm kind of hearing stories that demand is lower, of course, as it is here a little bit, because people are not, a lot of our exports for beef and lamb and going to food service on the continent as well. So that's an important market for us. So on the supply side then, obviously we saw there was a little bit of disruption at live markets, and they've been working hard to stay open. I think they've been quite innovative in terms of online offerings and the way that they've reordered themselves in line with DEFRA protocols and things like that. But obviously in those early days, I think it's fair to say that a few sheep farmers would have kind of stayed away from auction markets because they were concerned about the price suddenly dropping away in front of them.
Definitely. I think there was a bit of, you know, concern of actually what markets are operating, is my local one operating, and also what buyers are going to be there, and also probably some concern about actually, do I want to go to the market to market my lambs that way?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, from a personal health point of view. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would have played a part in some people's minds and sort of considering, do I market them today? And I think so. It was probably just trying to find out actually, what is the lay of the land to an extent.
Yeah, and it's quite good because I think the auction markets were quick in terms of sorting themselves out and setting up those social distancing in place and things like that. So obviously it's perfectly acceptable. It's perfectly okay to market your lambs now. Of course, it has been for a few weeks, so that's not an issue necessarily. So it's good that the market's kind of adapting and as things evolve. I suppose the other thing I was thinking about as well is, obviously, you know, we can't ignore the fact that the UK market is pretty much wedded to the Irish market as well. British consumers don't really differentiate between British and Irish products. And obviously, we import an awful lot of Irish beef too. And we're just starting to see in the last few weeks, Irish throughputs of cattle start to slow down as well. Do you think that's something that, well, it's not fair for me to say, do you think that's something we'll see here? But what kind of effect do you think that will have on the market?
I think, well, obviously, that does remove some of the immediate supply from at a meat point of view. The numbers on the ground don't change. If kill numbers are reduced, that can be quite an interesting dynamic. That's where supply is versus demand, if that demand drops there. But then it sort of also has a knock-on effect at the other end, almost in the opposite manner, of the fact that then supply sort of comes reduced to what's coming out of the abattoir. So yeah, it's a bit of an interesting dynamic you almost get at that point, whereby two ends change.
Yeah.
In the opposite directions.
So thanks, Rebecca. And Rebecca, if you want to know a little bit more about what's going on in terms of HDB's coronavirus coverage, you can go to our main HDB page where there's a coronavirus tab on the front page, or you can go to the individual market sections for beef and lamb. And of course, there's always the retail and consumer insight section, which now has weekly demand data from Kantar, which we're publishing on a Friday.
Great. Well, thank you, Duncan, for that. And thank you to both the Rebeccas for sharing a bit of insight with us there. And over to Gareth. So thanks for joining us, Gareth. We've heard a lot here about how consumers' shopping habits have significantly influenced the demand for certain cuts of meat and impacts the overall carcass balance and therefore prices. So can you tell us a bit about the marketing and advertising activity which is going on to combat this?
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, so it's really exciting to be able to update people on this collaboration that we've got with QMS and HCC, where we'll all be coming together to collaborate on a joint venture where we'll be promoting beef cuts to consumers to try to address the carcass imbalance challenge that was highlighted earlier in the podcast by my colleague Duncan. So the current situation around COVID seen an unprecedented rise in beef mince sales, which affected the value of the carcass. So we'll be looking to promote hind quarter cuts, such as beef steaks, whereby we'll promote to people just about how they can cook those at home, where they might traditionally eat them whilst they're out of restaurants within food service, but actually not really take on the challenge of cooking steak, see it as quite a challenging cut for them to get right. So we want to communicate to them just how easy and versatile the beef cut is, that they can either cook that quite simply as a steak on its own or incorporate it into favourite dishes such as fajitas, etc. So a little bit more about the campaign. So like I mentioned, we're collaborating with HCC and QMS. The campaign's going to run for 12 weeks and it's a 1.2 million investment from the three partners. We'll be going out around national TV and radio. They're the lead channels that we'll be looking to do to achieve a high reach and scale for the activity. And it's all branded around the concept of Make It, which is an existing campaign that has run in the past. We'll be utilising a lot of the assets that were created as part of that and updating them for the new activity. So our main kind of objective and our challenge is to try to increase the volume and value sales of hind quarter steak as a direct result of the campaign. And we'll be targeting two groups of consumers so we can highly target and get direct messaging to be as relevant as possible. And these groups are called the foodie explorers. So these are quite adventurous people, aren't put off and kind of just doing the meat and two veg type dishes. They will experiment and kind of will spend slightly more on their food that they buy. And the healthy home cooks is another segment. So these are people looking to feed their families healthy and nutritious dishes. And we're looking really to kind of drive awareness with those guys about the campaign and promote our key messages to them. And that'll be done through, like I mentioned, we've got some broadcast TV taking place where we'll be sponsoring daytime Channel 5 programmes, as well as also featuring online as well. We've obviously had lots of people at home. There's lots of viewing of the on-demand TV channels such as ITV Hub and Channel 4's On Demand. So we'll be advertising through there as well. We've also got some sponsorship of the national radio channel, Smooth Radio. So we'll be featuring quite heavily on there. We can get our message out to our target audience, as well as advertising in national print newspapers. So quite a broad range. So we're not forgetting the popular social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram. Got a lot of activity planned to go out across those during the campaign, all leading people back to our website, which is simplybeefandlamb.co.uk. And on there, we'll have a whole hub of hashtag make it steak related activity and content that people can use to either educate themselves a bit and give themselves the confidence to cook steak, as well as recipe ideas to try out in their own kitchens. We'll also look into work with some digital influencers. So we're just reaching out to those at the moment who will be really good and authentic carriers of our message to their own followers. And we are looking to partner with networks such as Brick Mums and others who again, carry our message out further afield on our behalf. And then the last kind of really important element of the campaign. So we drive an awareness through those big broadcast channels and then inspiring people through our digital content. And then we need to make sure that when they go in store that we can nudge them to make that purchase. And we'll be partnering up with some of the retailers. Well, we're looking to get content into the in-store magazines, get on-pack stickers on products as well to link through to the campaign, as well as advertise on their websites as well. We know that consumers are more and more prevalently using supermarkets' websites now, so that's an important channel for us as well to make sure we get our message out. The other part of the kind of retail activation is working and promoting with butchers and also people who may have farm shops and are doing delivery services. So we've set up some content on the HDB website. If you go to the marketing section, you can find some more information about how HDB can provide you with assets and content, such as digital graphics for your own social media channels, as well as recipe cards and other things that you could put into delivery boxes if that's something that your business is doing. So, you know, we do really encourage people to visit both the HDB main website, as well as our consumer-facing website, the simplybeefandlamb.co.uk, where you can share our content out and play your part in supporting the campaign and ensuring it's a great success.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gareth. It's great to hear that both industry and retailers are getting behind the campaign. I know that many of our levy payers will be pleased to hear more money is being spent on promotion and advertising through those more mainstream channels. Some great points have been covered here, and I hope everyone listening has found it really interesting. We will continue to update the AHGB website and our social media feeds with latest market information and updates on support available during the coronavirus outbreak. If anyone has any questions or concerns on how coronavirus is affecting their business, we have a dedicated coronavirus page on our website, which is ahgb.org.uk. And as Gareth mentioned, check out our Simply Beef and Lamb website for some tasty recipes. I hope you found today's podcast useful. If you have anything specific you would like us to cover in our podcast, then please get in touch with your feedback. I'm Sarah Meesom. Thank you for listening.